Another challenge for the Green Hornet, his aide Kato, and their rolling arsenal, the Black Beauty. On police records, a wanted criminal, the Green Hornet is really Britt Reed, owner-publisher of the Daily Sentinel, his dual identity known only to his secretary and to the district attorney. And now, to protect the rights and lives of decent citizens, rides the Green Hornet.
And welcome to Comic Culture on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio and podcast at comicbookdaily.com. I am your host, Walter Duralia, Overstreet advisor and comic shop owner.
And I am your your host, Chris Owen, professor of comic history at Hamilton's Mohawk College. Sorry, I kind of goofed that up a little bit.
Wow. So, and for the next hour, we are your guides to the dark catacombs of the human mind.
Do you know that we're professionals? All right, well, listen, we are going to be talking about comic books.
Also
today.
Known as comic books.
We are going to talk about comics today. I know it's hard to believe that two schmucks like Walter and I would actually know anything about anything, to be honest with you. But today is Wednesday, and it is New Comic Book Day. Although it's not really New Comic Book Day, because new comics do come out on, get shipped on Tuesdays now, don't
they? Right. Wednesday still is New Comic Day, the stores just get them on Tuesday.
Right,
Chris, today we have... young Marty Berthelmer here, young aspiring actor here, is going to talk to us about some of his projects going on in 2011. Yeah. Marty, welcome.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here for my first visit.
Well, yeah, Marty, you're looking a little spry today. You know, it looks like you probably look really good in a Spider-Man outfit. I'm not trying to hit on you or anything. I'm just saying.
Just saying.
You saying the pattern would suit my face nicely?
Absolutely, absolutely. Those big, wide eyes of yours.
Well, I would appreciate that in letter form, perhaps sent to Stan Lee when he's recasting the new Spider-Man movie. There's still time to halt production.
Absolutely. I will get right on that.
Chris, great tune at the beginning. I got to mention
that.
Is the problem I have with the Green Hornet...
How could you possibly have a problem with
Kato? No, it's Kato. When I hear the word Kato, I automatically think of Kuzo.
Can I just interject for a moment here?
Go ahead.
Not anything from an acting background whatsoever, but just from a fan background. Green Hornet, yeah, sure, great comic book. It's doing well and everything. Big new movie, Seth Rogen. I don't care. Kato is always going to imply nothing but a fumbling, bumbling idiot of an Inspector Clouseau.
That's
Can
right.
Can you think of anything else?
No.
Well, you know what's funny?
That's the problem. They should change the guy's name to Latte or something.
Okay, but you know what? Here's the thing. Sign of the Times from, 20 years ago, but Sign of the Times, whenever I think of Kato, I think of Kato Kalin or whatever his name is from the whole, with O.J. Simpson trial thing, right? Because he was the guy that he was like the gardener or something like that that had witnessed O.J. Simpson.
Right.
So I always think of Kato Kalin or whatever his name is.
Chris, get with it.
I know. Clearly, you know what? Clearly, I'm not 30 years behind like you guys are with your Inspector Clouseau movies.
So 35 or whatever.
So the main point is when someone says Kato, you don't think of the Green Hornet.
No,
clear things up.
And but, apparently the movie is doing fairly well, but I think that's mainly because nothing else opened this weekend.
It's true. It's the middle of January. What are you going to get?
Hey, listen, we do have a comic book type of show.
Come on now. What? Hold on a second here.
And we're gonna jump right into New This Week.
Okay.
And this is where we encourage the listenership to head into their local comic book store, check the New This Week shelves, which is today, Wednesday. And today we're going to get our guests, Marty, to read our New This Week sponsor.
Oh, go ahead, Marty.
A little nervous.
You can do it.
All right. Well, New This Week is brought to you by the campaign to give Stan Lee an Oscar. Yes, Stan Lee, the man who gave us so many beloved superheroes, has been in more blockbuster movies than any other actor in the universe. Coincidence? We think not. Stan deserves an Oscar. Excelsior!
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 Good work, Sparty. Good work.
That's what I'm here for.
All right, I'm going to start the new this week off with Buffy the Vampire Slayer number 40. It is the end of season 8, finally.
Finally.
Right. And
But hold on. This when we say season 8, this is season 8 in a combination of both TV and comic book sort of series, right?
Well, not sort of, Chris. TV and comic book
series. Right, right. I'm not, I'm just for the lay people out there who aren't aware of how the comic book series actually took over from the TV series. So although the TV series ended with, like, I think season 6 or season 7,
I believe, yeah. And so season 8 was the first
season 8, okay.
Into comic books. And the good news there is for Buffy fans, I believe they have approved of season 9, which will be comic books again.
Right. So now will that be another 40 issues or will that, like...
See, that I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But that may be out there on the net. I don't know. But hey, listen, it's keeping the franchise going.
Yeah.
Well, that's what comic books, you and I have discussed many times, comic books are good at. They're a cheap way to keep a property going in between big movies or big TV productions. It works so well with Star Wars. And,
yeah, absolutely. You know what?
Predator.
It works with Star Wars. It works with Aliens, Predator, Transformers, G.I. Joe. You know, the list goes on as far as properties that have been continued in the comic book series by fans that want to see stories about their favorite characters, but there's no actual huge movies or TV series coming out.
Right, absolutely right. All right. So Buffy, number 40 today, your local comic book shop. Invincible Iron Man, number 500.
500, that's crazy. Now, clearly they've gone back to the old numbering system from when Iron Man started out in, like, the 60s. Walt's looking at me like, I don't know when it started out.
1968 May.
Oh, see, you know what? Why do you gotta look like that then? I knew you knew what you were talking about. So, in fact, it did start out back then, and now they've gone back to the old numbering system so that it has reached issue 500. I do have some sort of issues with that. I mean, I don't know why they have to, they start a new series, and then they call it number 1, and then when it's convenient for them, they call it number 500.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And the great thing about Marvel is they have so many titles.
Oh, yeah.
And so many things and so many starts and stops that they can pretty well, any month,
they can have an
anniversary issue of some sort.
For sure.
You know, a number 300 of something or a number 100 of something. Or
remember,
if you combined, the 17 abortive efforts of Black Panther, we might be up to number 100 or something.
Well, the same thing happened with She-Hulk. I remember with She-Hulk, it ran to issue number 100, and you're like, She-Hulk? Like, really? Like,
how'd she make 100?
Oh, yeah, but, they combine the Savage She-Hulk with the Sensational She-Hulk with the regular She-Hulk,
right.
And all of a sudden, now they've got 100 issues, right?
Right, right.
So when it's convenient for them, they combine it to make a milestone issue.
But, listen, Iron Man is a major character now in the Marvel U.
Now. I like how you said now, because really he was kind of a B-lister before, but now, because of the movies, he's become this A-list property.
Okay. Here's the question. I don't know, Marty, you've seen the movies, obviously, the Iron Man movies.
Oh, absolutely.
But now that he's A-list, do you think all the things are in place to keep him A-list? And in other words, has pop culture embraced him and has the premise of Iron Man endeared itself to pop culture in order to keep that guy an A-list character? Marty.
Marty, what's your answer?
Marty, what's your answer? I want to know now.
All right, well, guys, not to be put on the spot or
not
anything like that. No, I feel super relaxed.
Good.
If you're talking about the whole pop culture, the whole media as a whole, the movie franchise alone, with Robert Downey, of course, is Iron Man. He's coming out. There's Avengers. There's Iron Man. Iron Man 2. Everything. There's no way that this is not going to last. It's a brick house.
Okay. Oh, okay.
It's a brick house, Chris.
But it's the first time I've heard that used. It's a brick house.
It's a brick house. Okay.
Say what?
Okay. So now hold on a second here. As a comic book, though, I don't know if Iron Man has enough of a history to warrant the kind of longevity that some of the other characters do. I mean, he has some cool traits to him. I mean, the fact that he was, this recovering alcoholic and all that kind of stuff is kind of a cool, interesting character flaw that isn't usually bestowed upon a lot of different characters in comic books. But I don't know if that's going to be enough to be able to keep him interesting enough to have longevity.
Well, listen, I think he's one of the... I think he's number one with a mustache.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now, I don't think one hero with a mustache can challenge Iron Man. No?
Wait. One hero or one villain? Like, I mean,
Well, Sinestro has a mustache, I know.
Mustache?
Sinestro.
It's a trap!
It's a bro. No, a mo. What do you call those?
I don't know.
Anyway, yeah, I think he does, Chris. I'm going to disagree. I think he does. He's been around since 63. He's one of the original Marvel characters back when Spidey and Hulk and FF and you know, Iron Man and Thor came out. He was one of that initial crop, and he has enough pedigree. He has enough history behind him. And the thing is, he's an approachable character. He's a schmuck. He's a conceited, you know. I mean, you should relate to this guy, Chris. I mean...
But I'm missing the mustache.
Right.
Well, how can I possibly relate?
It's there in our minds, Chris. It's there in our minds.
But Iron Man 500 today at your local comic book store.
All right. Well, let's keep on going here. What else we got new this week?
Check this out. Steampunk Palin. One shot.
Steampunk Palin. No, the whole steampunk industry thought product. I don't even know how to describe it. This whole steampunk thing, it sort of bewilders me. I mean, I understand what it is. I don't really know exactly where it came from. I think it came from a series of books. But then this whole steampunk thing, I don't really quite get. It's like, it's supposed to be like a futuristic thing, but there's no technology. It's all done on steam. And
Chris, like, I haven't got a clue either. Era. Yeah, I haven't got a clue either. All I know is that Sarah Palin is going to change the world with steam, geothermal energy and steam. And in this comic, all the big oil guys and stuff, they send hitmen after her.
Right.
And she dons some sort of costume, steam-powered armor to fight them.
Well, yeah.
Look out.
Yeah, you know, I think the idea here is that they're going to use a government political figure as a main character of a comic book, and really that's what's going to try to sell it. I mean, if it was anybody else other than Palin, I don't know if it would work.
Listen, if this doesn't get her elected president,
nothing will.
Nothing will.
Absolutely. But let's not forget, you know, remember even Ronald Reagan had a comic book called Reagan's Raiders at one time.
Mm.
You know, and remember he was president.
I remember.
So, you know, like, hey, maybe these things happen.
All right, well, listen, I'm not sure every single local comic book shop will have Steampunk Palin.
I would doubt it.
Yeah, but hopefully you're near one that does. Check that out today. Okay, we're going to finish new this week off with F.U. A-hole.
What? Hold on.
No,
what did
Chris,
you
I'm
say
sincere.
To me?
I'm sincere. Listen,
I don't care how sincere. No, that's not very nice to say to
no,
me.
No, I didn't
I thought
say
I was the actor. This one's the ham over here.
Hey!
No. Johnny Ryan, Chris, you're a fan?
Huge fan.
New little mini graphic novel coming out today, F.U. A-hole. And, of course, the actual title is
not F.U. A-hole, but I think if you
use
can actually, you know, fill in the blanks there.
Blecky Yuccarella,
you know,
volume
four. Just, why do you even bother? Seriously.
Sorry.
Like, it's Blecky Yuccarella.
Blecky Yuccarella, volume four. And that closes the Blecky Yuccarella I was going to say trilogy, but volume four wouldn't make
quadrology.
It. Quadrology.
Yeah, sure.
And Chris, now you're a. I've never read any of his stuff.
Oh, you got to read Johnny Ryan stuff because Johnny Ryan, you know, Johnny Ryan's one of those books where I actually have to hide it because it is so politically incorrect. It is so awful. It is so, you know, there's like these horrible jokes about fecal matter and it's disgusting. It's humor on the most primal level, and yet it makes me laugh because nobody else does anything as well as what Johnny Ryan does. And Johnny Ryan, you got to go out, and he has a I don't know, about every 2 or 3 months he comes out with his Angry Youth comics. And that's where his stuff mainly comes from. But he also comes out with little graphic novels here and there. And really, if you're looking for something completely different, completely off the wall, you got to check out anything by Johnny Ryan. Really,
right.
Really great stuff.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but you keep saying Johnny Ryan and all this teen angst and anger. I just keep thinking, don't do what Johnny don't does.
Don't do it, Donnie don't does.
Yeah, with the word playing, yeah, that's all I got out of it.
Well,
I have no idea what you're talking
Johnny
about.
Johnny Ryan, he's a great cartoonist. You really got to check his stuff out.
Guys, Fantagraphics, F.U. A-hole, Johnny Ryan at your local comic shop today. Again, it might not be at every local comic shop.
No, it'll be at the finer comic book shop.
At the finer local comic book shops.
All right,
today.
Well, listen, let's keep things going here with a little bit of a musical interlude. And this week we have a little bit of the Josie and the Pussycats. Or hold on a second here. Wait, hold on. A little bit of technical difficulties here. Hold on. Wait
for it. The engineer is shaking his head.
Let's try it now. Thank you.
Yes, Josie and the Pussycats by...
Josie and the Pussycats.
Josie and the Pussycats. Thank you, Chris. Chris, and again, I don't know how you do it, but it is a tremendous segue.
That's a great segue.
Into industry news.
Yes.
And industry news this week is brought to you by the campaign to take Stan Lee's Oscar, if he were to win one, and give it to Jack Kirby. Because let's face it, he did most of the work.
Yeah, you know what? I couldn't agree with you more. That is a fantastic sentiment there. But what do we got for industry news today,
Walt? Oh, Chris, a lot's going on in the world, the wonderful world of comic books.
Wonderful world of comic books.
Really big shoe. Hey, listen, there's been a bad buzz around the Green Lantern movie.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. I'm going on the internet looking for news. Yeah. And I'm seeing that there's some guys out there dissing the initial kind of things they're seeing from the Green Lantern. They're worried that it's going to bomb. They're worried that it's not good. They don't like what they see. The problem with that is that's just a couple of guys.
Right.
I'm going to tell you the problem with that is.
What's the problem? What's the problem with that? Because I'm not really too sure what you're getting at.
You want to know what the problem is?
What's the problem with that?
I'm going to tell you what the problem is.
Can you tell me what the problem is?
The problem is that it gets on the internet.
Well, yeah, I mean that,
and then it spreads like wildfire.
You know what that is?
That's
a problem.
That is a problem.
You don't
and
say.
And so now everybody thinks it's going to be crap.
Well,
because two guys had some sort of I don't know about this. I saw something I didn't like and stuff like that. So now the what's the studio? The Warner Brothers. They're like in damage control right now.
For sure. You know, and that's the problem when they have
a problem. That's what it is.
That's a problem. You know what that is? That's a problem.
Yes.
The problem with that, though, is the fact that, that the studio let, people who probably shouldn't have seen it see it. Now, whether or not it was leaked or whether or not it was an advanced screening or whatever, I don't know how that worked. But also, B, who knows what kind of taste these two, three, five guys have in movies, right? Like maybe they didn't like the Iron Man movies, which became blockbuster hits. Maybe they like, the original Punisher movie with Dolph Lundgren. Like, who knows? Like, I don't know.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. Now, I have not seen any trailers for Green Lantern around the room here. Anybody seen?
I've seen them.
Yeah, the couple that are out. And I mean, you know what? It's kind of like, the best way to compare it is within the past couple of years, the Wolverine effect. The Wolverine movie got leaked. A lot of people saw it, and a lot of people said it was terrible. Apparently, it was an unfinished, not fully rendered copy, so they got to see a lot of stuff that was probably digitally removed later on or whatever.
Yep.
But either way, you see a lot of people who are super into the Wolverine franchise, you know, and those are the ones who are going to post something about it, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they don't like one thing, if they say, I saw a wire hanging off Hugh Jackman's back, they're going to say, this movie's terrible, it's crap. They won't tell you why. They won't. Either way, you know, you look at it, it's one of two things. It's either, it's terrible because it's going to ruin the movie. I don't know. But Wolverine did still open at number one. It was still a huge summer box office smash. People still saw it. People who said it was terrible, my friends who said this movie's terrible, I went to the theaters and watched it with them in the theaters. I'm sorry, but it happened.
Marty makes a very good point. I mean, I think there are going to be a lot of Green Lantern fanatics out there, and more than likely, these are the people that had the advanced screenings because they're the one who are most likely that want to see it badly. And if you're that much of a fanatic, sometimes you become so fanatical about the canon of Green Lantern, about the lore of Green Lantern, that, you know, if there's any kind of discrepancies between, you know, his costume or the way characters interact or anything like that, you're going to be upset about the way that thing works. And that certainly happens with the Green Lantern, with the Wolverine movies, with the X-Men movies. I mean, if things aren't exactly perfect the way they were done in the comic book, all of a sudden now it's like, oh, that movie sucks, right? Whereas I think that if you just sort of take a step back and think to yourself, well, hey, you know what? This movie is about a new Green Lantern or about a new X-Men or whatever it happens to be, then you might be able to get some enjoyment out of it.
Right, and you know what, though? And it could be something else, too. And it could be, like, industry insiders that have seen this that know F all about, you know, what the fans would like.
For sure.
Right?
For absolutely.
It could be some sort of, you know, deputy executive grip, you know, that's seen it and has leaked something out. Oh, I don't like it or something like that.
Yeah,
so who knows? But the thing is, the thing that I hate is now that because of the nature of the internet, you have a film company now having to kind of backtrack and try to save the buzz for this movie. And
you know,
buzz is important for comic books.
But you know what? I will... as sort of a bit of a final note here, because I think we've already gone on this. We can say that
I've got one thing to say afterwards.
It's starting to become a problem.
Yeah, it is a problem. But you know what? Before Star Wars actually opened up on a big, wide, worldwide theatrical release, everybody who saw clips of it thought that it was going to bomb. Right, and it went on to become like the number one movie of all time for like 20 years.
Right,
so you know what? Let's wait and see how the movie actually is when we see it with our own eyes.
Okay. Fair enough. Now I have two things to say. One is you are the biggest, not closet, but just out there Star Wars fan that I've yet met. So there you go.
Yet
kudos
met.
To you.
But I'm a little worried that you might meet somebody who's a bigger Star Wars fan than I am.
If we meet him, we'll remove him together. But second is, this movie is still going to do top dollar at the box office. I don't care what anyone says, because those people who've seen it, they're still going to go see it. Silver screen is better than anything else that you'll ever see. Plus, it's Ryan Reynolds. Girls will drag their boyfriends to go see it because it's Ryan Reynolds. No one wanted to see Tobey Maguire shirtless. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But they will go to see Ryan Reynolds in
a movie.
For sure.
Right.
For sure.
All right. I'm getting uncomfortable, so we're going to move along.
Let's talk a little bit more about
Ryan. Am I a little too close to your leg right now, Walt?
Let's talk about... I want to talk about the Mighty Thor. I want to talk about Marvel Comics coming out with Mighty Thor number one in April, an ongoing comic book series, and 2 months before the big movie hits?
Sure, why not? You know what? Okay, here's one of the things that Marvel actually hasn't done very well in the past with, and that is multiple comics with the same character. For many years, Superman had, you know, three or four different titles. Batman's had three or four titles. You know, there's lots of, you know, I think even Flash had a couple titles at one point. You know, Green Lantern certainly had Green Lantern Corps now, and then regular Green Lantern series, and, you know, was in the Justice League of America. So there's lots of different titles for the same characters, whereas really for a long time Marvel wasn't very good at that. Other than Spider-Man. Spider-Man had like three or four titles always at once, but there was never more than one title for Captain America or Thor or Iron Man. And now finally they're getting in on that sort of multiple comic issue kind of idea. But the problem with that is because they're only doing it around the movies, it makes it seem like now they're just trying to cash in on something.
Well, that's what it makes it seem like. But I think that this is the one, like Iron Man was before. They launched it before the Iron Man movie. And don't forget, I mean, everybody's going to diss this, but Hulk went to number one, and it worked for Marvel.
Absolutely,
you know, with the Red Hulk storyline at the beginning and stuff. And Iron Man, when it went back to number one, I think it worked as well. And like the sales were strong, and that was the flagship title.
Yep.
And you know what? I think it's going to work for Thor.
Yeah, I think it will too.
I hate to interject here. I mean, I may not be the most knowledgeable, not as much as you two professors, or one professor and one...
You're telling me.
I'm one good-looking guy over here, but... I will have to say this. Going back to number one.
Wait, am I the good-looking guy?
You can be whoever you want to be, Chris. So, if you're going back to a number one a couple months before a big blockbuster, you know, movie release, you're not only inspiring a whole bunch of marketing for that movie, but you're also giving the fans a number one or something to start off
point,
with.
A jump on
when,
point.
When they watch a movie and they say, oh my God, I'm in love with Iron Man. And then they see, oh my, Iron Man's at 478. I've got lots of reading to do for the next 3 years before I catch up to where I am right now.
Yeah.
You know what? Give them a number one, they relate to the character, and all of a sudden Robert Downey is Iron Man from this episode number one.
Right.
Number one comic book throughout.
For sure,
It gives them a good starting point.
Right. Now, like, the thing, though, like you and I talked about, here's the thing, Chris, I think each character...
You two guys with your shticks.
I think each character... There is a critical mass to the amount of titles that you can carry well, right?
Do you think so, really?
Yeah. I mean, let's look at Batman, right?
Yeah.
Batman works best, I think. Excuse me. Batman title?
Yeah.
Detective title?
Yeah.
You got
Batman All-Stars?
Hold on. JLA?
Yeah.
Right? And you got, like, then you go... Okay, All-Star Batman or something like that, right?
Yeah.
That's an anomaly, I think, because Batman's so strong. Hold on. And then you got miniseries and stuff. I think Thor is going to be a one-title guy. He's no Batman. Thor is no Batman.
Okay, but hold on a second here. Now, with Batman, initially, you know, we had Batman, which was supposed to be like Batman and Robin. And then Detective Comics was supposed to be more of a Batman solo book, right? Where it was supposed to be more detective-y, if that's a word.
Yeah.
And then you had the JLA, which is like his team book.
Yeah,
Thor.
Where he goes and contributes.
Well, so Thor is in the Avengers, or at least he should be in the Avengers.
Right.
Right. So that's a second title.
You have Thor, and then you have the Avengers, right. And then you're done. And then you have a couple of miniseries.
But hold on. Why not have a Thor issue, a Thor series where he's, you know, battling stuff in Asgard, going out and fighting frost giants and going out and doing all that kind of stuff, as well as having a separate comic where he's like, you know, in you know, on Earth.
Yeah,
and
but
doing
the thing is, Chris, this
stuff.
Is where I disagree with you. I don't think Thor has the following. I think, you know what? Unfortunately, talent in terms of writing and drawing is finite, right? And if you're going to do Thor well, you're gonna do all that in his flagship title. You're gonna have him in the Avengers because the consumption of Thor isn't as large as the consumption of Batman. So in Batman, you can write him as that lone detective, and in Batman All-Star, you can write him as in detective. You can write him in detective as the lone detective in Batman All-Star. You can write him with Robin. He can carry three or four titles.
I didn't understand a word you just said.
Neither did I. My point is, Batman can carry more titles than Thor.
Okay, yeah, I grant.
All superheroes are not created equal.
You're saying that you might need to focus more efforts in some titles more than others.
In my speech.
Yeah.
But I do think that, Thor is really kind of like the Superman of, you know, the Marvel.
No, he's not.
Yeah,
no.
He is. He's sort of
what's his name?
Don't say Sentry, because Sentry. Oh, please. Don't even talk about Sentry.
Who's Sentry?
Sentry's like this made-up character that should have never existed.
Happened 100 years ago, pal.
Yeah.
100 years ago?
No, never mind. That's ridiculous.
Just an inside joke.
Okay, Thor is like, you know, he's like the most powerful, you know, strength-wise and all that kind of stuff. Maybe not as powerful as the Hulk, but okay, you know, still, Thor is like that majestic character, right? And I think that he can carry a book as well as Superman can. That's all I'm saying.
Okay,
If Superman can have 50 titles, he can have action and adventure and Superman, why can't Thor? It's just a matter of writing the character properly. I mean, before Frank Miller came around with Batman, or okay, even save Neil Adams, Batman was this, you know, going around fighting giant toys and stuff like that. It came around for a good writer to be able to come up with a different idea for the character. Why can't somebody do that with Thor? That's all I'm saying.
Wow, Chris, I have nothing to say to that except let's move on to the next topic of industry news, which is this is great, and I'm keeping along the lines of what we're talking about here. So I'm looking for news. That's what I do. I go on the internet.
Look for news?
And I look for news.
Look for news, okay. And how does that work out for you?
Yeah, and I found very exciting the fact that one still, one picture, one little frame. First of all, Captain America.
Oh, sorry, I was just repeating what you were saying.
And then
sorry.
Another news article of one still.
Picture.
Frame. Of Spider-Man. Yeah. And these releases, these leaks of these one little stills, oh my God, here is Spider-Man running across the street.
It's big news.
It's big news. And that's like everybody's like going on these things and commenting on his costume.
Speculating
on what's going to happen.
Maybe Spider-Man's going to be going for a loaf of bread.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Right. Who knows? Maybe he's going to place a bet.
Running to the ATM for his gambling addiction.
Know. The point is the comic book movies, the excitement around comic book movies is so great that one frame, one still released out of these movies, it spreads over the internet like wildfire, and then it gets discussed, and people say, oh, I love the costume, oh, I hate the costume, oh, this guy sucks, or whatever.
And you know what? This kind of harkens back.
Who goes there?
Hearken, who goes there?
Hark the angels sing.
Someone at the door. Harkens back to what we were saying all of about 2 minutes ago with the whole, you know, Green Lantern issue where, you know, all of a sudden, you know, two or three people saw the Green Lantern movie and now they're saying it's crap. Now, all of a sudden, two or three people are seeing, you know, a picture of Spider-Man and they're making all these judgment calls on the whole movie without even seeing the movie yet.
Yeah, you're right. But I think, though, it serves a second purpose. I think it serves a purpose of whipping up, building the froth up, you know, like frothing everybody up into a...
Frothing.
Yeah, into a...
Rabid frenzy.
Into a frenzy.
Yes.
And I think...
I'll just finish all your sentences for you.
Thanks, Chris.
Okay.
Into... But...
You guys have such great rapport.
Right. But what we need, I think what we need, Chris, is like strategic little stills of the show.
I don't think anyone wants to see what is going on right here.
Placed on the internet.
Your five listeners would dwindle quickly.
Excellent idea. You know what? Let's secretly release stills of what we look like when we're taping the show. And then be mortified that they're out on the... Oh my God. Like, who released that?
I just want to see one comment, yeah, right? Uh-huh. Like, what the hell is he wearing? You know, that kind of stuff.
You'd have to pay people to spread something like that.
No wonder that guy's on radio. Do you look at what he's wearing? Holy crap.
Right. Okay. All right. Anyway, last week we talked about Wonder Woman getting shot down by ABC.
You know,
and the TV show. Hold on. ABC is owned by Disney, yeah, who owns Marvel and all that kind of stuff. Well, it's not dead yet.
Oh, good.
They're still shopping around Wonder Woman, the TV series. Now it's going to NBC, and they're going to look at cable venues.
Oh, cable. Yeah.
Now, and this is what I wanted to discuss with you. Shouldn't Wonder Woman go to cable where it can be more? I won't say no. Don't take me down that road. Hold on. I didn't mean like push up.
This is a PG show.
Yes, this is exactly where
PG
we should go.
PG show, guys.
No. HBO Nighttime.
What am I getting myself into over here?
No, showcase adult version.
I'm not that kind of actor, Walt.
No, I'm sorry, Smarty. I think you'd be perfect for what's the guy's Wonder Woman?
When she deflects bullets, yeah. She'll deflect.
If I'm included in the show, then absolutely, I'm in for anything.
Right, but he, like. Ken Cable.
Oh, you know, baby.
If you go to ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, you're going to get that kind of standard.
Running the mill, cookie cutter, blah, blah, blah.
But if you go to cable, can they do Wonder Woman differently?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They can do Wonder Woman in a fantastic way.
Hold on. I have a question right here. Because, you know, growing up throughout the time of Xena.
Yeah.
You know, Xena did fairly well. What was it? Was it on Fox or... I don't know what it was on.
Sure.
I don't know. But it was on something local. It was just typical basic cable. You could get Xena. And, that show did well. If I were to watch an episode now, I'd probably be bored as heck. Except when Lucy Lawless or her little friend was prancing around in barely anything.
Yes.
And I mean, you know what? You get Wonder Woman on there, that's going to draw the main attention. As long as you got some decent writing, then you've got something great.
Okay, I think there's two things at work here. Walt's giving me the old finger sign here. There's two things at work here. One, I think the big networks such as Fox, ABC, NBC, all those kind of people, I think they're missing out on a big opportunity to have a big hit on Wonder Woman. Two, if it has to go to a showcase, an HBO, a sort of subsidiary type network, I think it will do extremely well. And I think they can probably push the boundaries a little bit more with the advent of shows like Dexter, like The Sopranos, The Trailer Park Boys, those kind of shows where they kind of push the boundaries just a little bit more. I think Wonder Woman could probably do that and be very successful at doing it.
Well, you're right. And there were eras of Wonder Woman where it was very much, the way they sold Wonder Woman comics for a long period of time was, you know, on the cover she'd be tied up, maybe that's the way to sell Wonder Woman.
But you know what? But with Wonder Woman, I mean, even for a long time there, I mean, there was many, many issues that she wasn't in the classic Wonder Woman outfit, that they were a little bit more liberated in what she was able to wear and what she was able to do. So I think that people who are thinking of Wonder Woman as a character are a little bit closed-minded as far as her abilities and her costume and what the series can bring to the audience.
Right. All right. All right, Chris, let's move on. And speaking of Wonder Woman, this is cool. I want to talk about MAC Cosmetics.
Yes.
Is launching a Wonder Woman makeup line.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wonder Woman. Okay, now hold on. Does that Wonder Woman makeup, does that mean it's going to be like, stars and stripes lipstick or, a golden lasso eyeliner? Like, I mean, how does that work?
Apparently, according to the write-up, the color scheme will have like a early 70s theme, and they'll be like the fire engine red, the taxi cab yellow, the royal blue. You know that
kind of
strong traditional Wonder Woman cover.
You know, my girlfriend actually wears MAC Cosmetics.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, is that on your request, or
you know, that's you know what? She brought that to the table herself. Actually, I had nothing to do with it.
But now it's on your dime.
It's. I'm not saying that at all.
All right.
But you know what? If she wanted to wear Wonder Woman Cosmetics, I'd probably be more than happy to help donate funds to the Wonder Woman Cosmetics line.
Chris, God bless her.
Yeah, really. Yeah, absolutely. She's a wonderful person.
Get her into the costume line next.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
No, I mean, this is good, though. I mean, here's comic books again. Here's comic books again, guys. Branching off into different industries. You know, comic books are such a strong medium.
Yeah.
You're getting makeup companies now saying, hey, you know, let's tap into the comic book magic.
That's an excellent point you're making. Well, you know what? And this is actually something that, you know, when we first started the show, this is a point we made many, many times, and we haven't gone back to this point. And that is the fact that comic books, like them or not, are becoming part of the mainstream society.
Have become.
And have become a mainstay, right? Like, we're talking about graphic novels, we're talking about TV series, we're talking about, you know, heck, now makeup.
Pajamas.
Right? Everything is relating back to comic books, and you think, thank goodness, finally, they're becoming of the age that people are realizing that it's a viable industry, and it's not just for kids anymore.
It's about time.
It's about time.
Slowly taking over the world.
One piece at a time. One nerd at a time.
Yeah, one nerd at a time.
And thankfully, they're doing it with female cosmetics, because I don't... Frankly, with guys, I don't think it would work. Like what?
You know,
Nightcrawler cosmetics? No one wanted to look like a Smurf with a tail. I'm sorry.
Are you telling me the Sulu cologne wasn't a big hit? Are you telling me that? Come on.
When are you going to get the Sulu cologne?
I ordered. Quick aside. A soliloquy.
A little segue here.
A little segue. At the Big B Christmas party, the store we all work for, we had a Christmas party in December, and it was a Secret Santa thing, and I thought it would be cool if I ordered through Diamond Comic Distributors the Sulu cologne for men.
Yes.
Pour Homme.
Pour Homme.
Pour Homme. And it still hasn't come in. So you know, I'm going to be using it.
Okay. Aside number two.
Right.
Mark, who was the manager of that said Big B comic store, had to order a number of Herbie toys. Herbie is a comic book character from like the 1930s or 40s.
60s, I believe. 50s.
No, it's 50s. Okay.
Right. If you can't remember, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And he ordered a number of toys, and he wanted to make sure that the toy actually got produced. So he made sure he ordered like 20 of them or something like that.
I remember that. He goes, "Well, man, I'm afraid they won't make these Herbies, so I'm going to order like 20 of them just to bump it up."
Needless to say,
they were Christmas gifts. Uh-huh.
Needless to say, he has 20 of 20 made.
Right. Okay, now, Walt, I got to say, did you order 20 bottles of Sulu cologne?
No, I ordered one, and I'm just very, very disappointed.
It might not get made now. You know,
You know, the moment has passed anyway, so it'd be a good thing. Hey, listen, we talked about nerds just a little bit before, and I hope they can help us out here. I'm not too I read this with interest, but hoping somebody can fill me in on this. Is Flashpoint, the whole Flashpoint, the Geoff Johns Flash crossover thing that's going on, they're going to make it. It's quite large. It's supposed to do to the DC Universe what the X-Men Age of Apocalypse did to the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, okay. So many years ago, I'm talking like 15 years ago, remember when they had this whole Age of Apocalypse, you know, the series that came out where all of the X-Men titles sort of became they sort of renumbered and reissued and retitled all the different Age of Apocalypse series. So, you know, I'll say, like, you know, X-Man became Man X, or Generation X became something else. So they kind of retitled everything because it was a whole sort of new universe that was sort of created through Apocalypse. And this lasted for like 4 issues. And then I think that's what they're doing with the whole Flashpoint series.
Right. Now, we need help here. I mean, we need clarification on this. If there are fans out there listening that kind of know exactly what the whole Flashpoint thing is about, please go on to comicbookdaily.com. Go on today's podcast, which is what, today's the
19th.
Yeah. And on the bottom, there's a comments page. Just please post
it
there.
You know, part of the problem is, you know, there are so many comics that come out, we can't possibly keep track of every single book that comes out. So, I mean, as much as I would love to be able to have the time to do all this stuff, if you could please let us, fill us in on this whole Flashpoint thing, that would be great. James, right. James is shaking his head like, my God, you're a comic book professor, and now you're telling people to tell you about comic books. You know what? It happens. Sometimes I just run out of time. What do you want me to do? What do you want from me, James? Come on, James. James, seriously.
Give him a break.
Give a kid a break here.
Here's the thing, though.
Here's the thing.
Geoff Johns, who's like the god of DC, right?
Yeah.
So now they've given him license. He's probably gone home, went camping on a weekend, and thought about this whole DC continuity and ways to change it and ways. Isn't that what X-Men Age of Apocalypse did with the X-Men universe? It kind of rewrote continuity for the X-Men. So James is saying no, absolutely not. You're so far wrong.
With Age of Apocalypse, it changed it for four issues. Then everything went back to the way it was.
Okay.
James? It was an alternate future, right? So it wasn't even like, and it was just sort of an, I don't even know how to describe it. It was just an alternate ending kind of thing.
This is what I propose, Chris. We drop this story as quick as we can.
Excellent idea.
Because
you know what?
We've delved into territory we have absolutely no idea of.
I'm going to forget I ever heard anything.
Yeah. All right. So, listen, you can yell at us. You can just go online there and comicbookdaily.com and
there's
just
only
say,
one thing
guys,
that,
what are you talking about?
You know, there's only one thing that I have to say about that.
Yo, Joe!
We'll fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there. G.I. Joe,
American hero. G.I. Joe is there.
It's G.I. Joe against Cobra the enemy, fighting to save the day. He never gives up, he's always there, fighting for freedom over land and air.
G.I. Joe, American hero, G.I. Joe is there.
G.I. Joe is the code name for America's daring, highly trained special mission force. Its purpose? To defend human freedom against Cobra, a ruthless terrorist organization determined to rule the world.
He never gives up. He'll stay till the fight's won. G.I. Joe will dare.
G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe.
Chris, you gotta love G.I. Joe.
Absolutely. You know what? That is a perfect segue into our next segment. Our next segment is brought to you by the campaign to get Stan Lee as a guest on the Comic Culture Radio podcast.
Yes!
If you're close to Stan, please let us help you get there. Because really, what better way to help promote Stan Lee than to have him be on this show?
You're right, Chris. Chris, Stan is at the cusp.
He's almost there.
All he needs is a little push.
He needs a little push. You know, he's almost a celebrity. You know,
yeah, he's almost.
If he could be on the show, right. It would almost, you know.
And you know what, it'd also be great if you gave him my demo reel. I got that available. Copies. I can make copies.
How did that whole demo thing go with you being a Green Lantern there?
Not well.
Chris, you get beat up by Ryan Reynolds, eh?
Well.
Barely,
yeah.
Yeah, the bodies are almost identical, really.
They really are.
Chris, now, you know, we're talking about Stan Lee. We're talking in jest.
And Stan Lee.
We're talking like, you know, like it's a joke. But let's not forget. I was going to say let's forget, but that wouldn't have worked.
Let's not forget
that you and I on this show, we had Brimstone.
We did.
A couple of months ago in October, as a matter of fact, and their Border Hounds.
Brimstone and the Border Hounds.
And they were floating a new comic idea in, and they came on the show, and they plugged it.
Yep.
And lo and behold, you know, Barnes & Noble's 2 months later picked them up. And guess what? Now the Hound Comics and Floating Pear Productions are going to make the Border Hounds into an animated series.
Okay, you know what? This tells me one main thing.
One main thing.
One main thing. That if you decide
you guys are too much.
If you decide to try to promote your comic on our show,
right?
You're going to be like a billionaire? I mean,
right, maybe.
I'm sure that's what these
millionaire minimum.
Yeah, a millionaire minimum.
I don't believe it.
No,
you're going to get shut down.
Okay, hey,
no one's.
We'll give you Brimstone's number. You talk to him.
Okay, but at the very least, you may possibly get a cartoon out of it.
Right, and a cartoon is important.
But hold on. So here are these two guys. These guys from the three guys.
Three guys.
Brimstone and
his buddies.
His two buddies. I don't remember the names right now, but they came on our show. They're from New Jersey or New York
right.
or something like that. And they came on the show, and then all of a sudden, 2 months later, their comic is now being distributed by Barnes & Noble. And now, like, you know, a few months later, they're having a possibility of a new animated series. You know, you tell me what other radio show can give you that
kind deliver
of...
that.
Exactly.
You don't have to say about that, Chris.
What?
Hi out there. My name's Marty Berthomer. I'm a struggling actor working day to day as
We're
a server.
Yeah, you know what? And Marty,
you need my demo reel. They have it.
Marty, all I can tell you that is rest assured that being on this show will produce results. Now, the great part
resting assured.
No, please rest assured.
Okay.
What I want to get back to, I don't know how we lost track, but is Stan Lee. Stan.
Stan, if you're out there.
Stan, or Stan. Stan's people.
Stan.
Give us a call.
Stan.
Come on the show, and we will push you over the edge toward that Oscar.
I think what Stan Lee needs is to be on our show in order to really just get him that little final push. I mean, he's not quite there yet. I mean, eventually he'll make it big, but once he's actually on the show, then, you know, he'll really realize.
Remember that old Rodney Dangerfield joke where he goes, "Boy, was I disappointed. I bought a book called How to Make It Big. It was all about money."
Hi-oh!
Okay. Okay.
Lead balloon.
All right, listen.
He was a legend, Chris.
Sorry, yes. Right.
I want to talk quickly before we go. Well, actually, you know, you're right. You had the ad, or the promo, the ad for...
The promo.
The promo. For this part of
we
the
had
show.
The ad, the promo, the ad is, for the promo.
This is the part of the show where we talk to our special guest today, Marty Berthelmer. Marty, welcome again to the show. Thanks for being on.
Well, where did you come from?
And listen, now you're an aspiring young actor, and I hear through the grapevine that you have a project going on in 2011 on the Comic Book Daily website.
Yes. I would love to say yes as a committed yes. I'm going to give you a 95% yes. You know what? There are so many things in the works right now. Comicbookdaily.com. I don't know if the listeners, if there are listeners. I hope there are listeners. You know what?
Well,
you,
okay, hold on.
Hey, how you doing?
I know you got lots to say here, but I want to say that we actually have lots of listeners. We have thousands of listeners.
You know,
thousands of people who listen to the show.
People across the pond, from the USA.
Our show is podcast on iTunes, and people download it, you know, hundreds of times. And,
yes.
You know, there are hundreds of people that download it from Comic Book Daily. So I can say that we have thousands of listeners.
Thousands listen to it on CFMU.
Yeah,
FM.
You should have told me this before. I didn't take you guys seriously at all. Now maybe I'll care a little bit.
You probably should.
All right, so listeners.
Tell us about what's going on at Comic Book
Daily. All right,
tell the thousands of listeners.
Thousands of listeners out there. All right, so comicbookdaily.com, if you're listening to this radio show, which thousands of you are, you probably attend comicbookdaily.com once a week, hopefully more frequently, because they've got lots of great articles on there. And anyway, in case you haven't heard, I don't know if there should be a letter, a memoir, or something up there about a video section actually getting added. It's going to be great. There's going to be lots of sketches, going to be, you know, a little fun news desk archive sort of section added. Anyway, I am one of the principals.
What does principals mean?
I don't teach at a school, Chris. No, I can't fire you at Mohawk College. Don't you worry. Principal as an actor.
Yes. Oh, right. Okay, gotcha.
So I will be frequented in the shows that are going to be podcast, whether they're 30-second segments, sketches, whatever. We're going to have lots of fun. You know what? We're just kind of sharing the word about comic books, and we're going to maybe broadcast on YouTube a little bit. It's going to be lots of costume shenanigans, lots of tiny little bit of news segments, just giving you the in the know. It's like a little video blog sort of thing, and it's going to have information, but at the same time, just have fun, just attract young viewers who maybe don't read comic books as of yet.
That sounds awesome. You know, I tuned out about 2 minutes ago, but you know.
Of course you did. Of course you did, because no one takes this radio show seriously. Why would someone who's on it?
I'm just joking. Right. Yeah. Honestly, that sounds awesome.
Hold on. So the idea here is you're doing a, I guess you're doing, what, you're doing skits?
Yeah, we're going to do a bunch of sketches. You see, right now we're in the phase of preliminary filming, so there's a lot of editing to do. I don't know if anyone's ever edited a video, but it takes painstaking hours, tedious hours that I'm not going to put forth. However, some poor schlep probably will.
Okay, and if you happen to be that poor schlep, we're inviting you to email us to comicbookdaily.com and let us know if you're interested in helping us out, produce some videos for Comic Book Daily or for Big B Comics or for comic culture or anything that happens to come our way.
Absolutely.
Or for CFMU Radio.
Right. Absolutely, right. Yeah, for sure.
Because it's not just going to be my pretty mug on there, but there's probably going to be lots of gorgeous young ladies.
Gorgeous.
At least that's
I'm
what,
in.
That's what I was promised in my $0 contract, so I don't know how much pull that gives me. But.
Okay, but seriously, you have been doing a little bit of acting for some time now.
And, oh, absolutely, yeah, several years now.
And have you been? Have you felt like you've really been able to expand your repertoire of characters and things like that? Or how's that going?
Well, in my younger years, I'm not that old, but you know. I'm a good 18.
But you've been at it for a while now.
Okay, yeah, more than it. You caught me. You know what? In my younger, it was all theater younger, but then, you get older, you're going to experiment a little bit more. You want to expand your character portfolio, let's say.
Right.
I wear lots of costumes.
Okay. Whoa. I don't really need to know anything about your personal life.
For you.
Well, but if it's filmed, it's not just personal.
Right. It's consumption for the world.
Right.
Someone else might be seeing it.
For the world.
Let's hope not.
I hope so. Exposure, Chris.
Oh, boy.
No press is bad press.
No press is bad press. Well, that's good. So, comicbookdaily.com. When can we roughly expect online videos?
You know what?
On CBD.
I'm going to be honest. The whole undertaking was as of a New Year plan. It is 18 days roughly into the new year. I'm going to give it 2 months. 2 months from now, and you will probably see the initial footage, rough, raw footage, because like I said, I'm working on a $0 budget here. But you know what? I almost guarantee, I'm not going to, never would I, but I will almost guarantee some footage up within a couple months on comicbookdaily.com, couple sketches, couple quick things to show you what our humor is like and what we're all about.
Okay, so hold on. I don't mean to cut you off here, but...
But you are.
I want to know, as an actor, of the comic book movies that have come out so far,
yes.
Which is your favorite one?
See, that's tough to say.
Of the recent ones. I'm not talking about the Doctor Strange one from 1972.
Okay,
or whatever,
okay.
Right.
Well done, because I haven't seen that one, so good for
that's
you.
That's good.
All right, I'm not going to say any of the Batman stuff. I like what they did. I like how they went dark, because that's just contemporary. It was all Flash in 2002 or whatever Spider-Man came out, and it was cheese.
Right.
I like the Batman movies, but I have to say Iron Man was probably the best.
Okay, very good. Very
absolutely. Now, Robert Downey has redeemed himself so much. I give him so much respect as an actor, as a human being, and Iron Man as a character was great in the movie.
Now, I'm sure you've seen the Fantastic Four movies.
Yes.
Now, they're relelaunching that whole Fantastic Four franchise.
They probably should.
Now, you didn't like any of those previous movies?
I thought they were somewhat lacking in the fantastic factor.
Oh, okay, all right, fair enough.
All right. Marty, how about... this year's crop. You got
okay.
What are you looking forward to this year?
You know what?
What should have you played this year? And what are you looking forward to?
You know what? Honestly, this is such a terrible answer. Pitiful answer. But it's not going to be Green Lantern.
Thor.
Sure, Ryan Reynolds, all
Thor.
About his body.
You want to be Thor.
Whatever. It's not Ryan Reynolds because you know what? The trailers leave me a little short because I don't understand what it's about from the trailer, but it is going to be Thor, not for reasons of Marvel. James, put your thumbs down. It's Thor because of the fact that the following year or second year, 2012, whatever it is, it's going to be a coinciding factor with Iron Man. They're going to, they're doing each character individually, or at least the big characters. They're going to join them all together in the end for culminating effect. I think that is a brilliant marketing strategy to release the fact they're going to do an Avengers movie and bring all the main characters together.
Okay.
So I want to see Thor develop as a character now, because Iron Man has, and then bring them all together and join a unit.
Now, hold on a second here. Now you said you didn't enjoy the previous Fantastic Four movies. Now, Chris Evans, who
not
was...
Not that I hate them. Not that I hate them.
Okay, fair enough. But Chris Evans, who played Johnny Storm, he is now going to be the new Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you think that he is, A, the right person for it, and B, do you think that this whole idea of restarting the whole Captain America franchise is a good thing?
I'm going to say yes, for sure. Captain America, the original movie, was, what, the 70s?
Yeah. Well, you know what?
Outdated.
Believe it or not, the original, like, there was actually Captain America serials from, like, the 1950s, but, like, that's a long time ago.
The movie was...
Which movie?
Like the TV one.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a TV movie on Captain America?
There was one that was in, like, the... Late 80s.
Was it late 80s?
Okay.
90s.
Okay, it was the 80s. You know what? It's a little outdated. Everyone updates everything every now and again. I mean, Batman has been constantly being re-updated until they finally found the niche that they actually succeeded on. I'm going to say Captain America being updated is 100% great.
Right.
However, using Mr. Human Flame there...
Yeah.
No.
Human Torch? No.
Yeah. Well,
Same thing.
I'm making fun of him is what I'm doing.
Oh, ouch.
You know what? Him as a body, he is Ryan Reynolds almost.
Yeah, really, for sure.
They are the same person, but I don't find him to be like a Mr. America role model. I don't think he's a spokesperson for a country. I don't think he is the "I'm going to stand up and defend my universe" sort of guy.
Okay, that's
he doesn't have the deeper voice, the dark. He's all like he's a California surf boy.
I agree. Just when I look at him, that's what I get.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, that's all.
Right. Okay, well, I mean, I completely agree with you, but you know what?
We'll see what the movie produces.
For sure. Well,
you know what, Chris? I think that's the end of the show, believe it or not. The producer here, James, is waving his little end of the show flag.
Yeah, the little surrender. The surrender flag.
Right, the surrender flag, yeah.
Wow, that looks seemingly striking, resembling a French flag.
We're at that time.
Well, you know what? We did have a great show today, and I just want to let everybody know that Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone and engineered by James McIntosh. For comments and suggestions, please visit www.comicbookdaily.com and click on the podcast link. Remember, a comic book in the hand is worth two in the bush.
All right, and
I have no idea what that means, but Anthony made me say it.
I loved being here.
Please go out and support your local comic book store.
Have yourself a wonderful, wonderful comic book day, and please support your local comic book retailers. Have a great day.